The word today is lament. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Doug Schrader. It is normal to want to tell our problems to someone who will listen. Parts of Scripture are about sorrow and despair, and these writings are called laments. They show us that it's okay to pour out frustration to God. Here to show us a way out of such despair is Pastor Doug Schrader on The Word Today, Lament.
Some parts of the Bible have language that is very sorrowful, extremely sad. There's some sections of the Bible, and if you read them a lot, you will probably get depressed because they talk about such horribly depressing things. One of the words that we use to describe these sections of the Bible is lament. A lament is a song or a poem that describes horrible feelings, depressing feelings, and it describes the very down times that people can have. One of the books of the Bible is even named after this, Lamentations, and you can even hear the word lament in it. I'd like to read for you a little bit from the book of Lamentations, and actually this is a hopeful section from the book of Lamentations. It's not the woe is me kind of feeling, but instead it's the hope is for me. Listen to it in chapter 3, verse 21, where it says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." These are beautiful words. These are very comforting words. And they're the words of a person who saw a lot of trial and problems. We'll get to that in just a minute. One of the things that I think about when the Bible speaks like laments or sackcloth and ashes, an individual covering themselves with dirt and wailing and mourning, I think of Job. Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible, and it's a story about a man who was severely tested by God to see what would happen with his faith. And it's a very challenging, very interesting story in Job chapter 1 and 2. I don't have time to go into all that right now, but the one thing that we do see is that when Job has suffered these devastating losses of his livestock and of his children, and he ends up with horrible sores and disease, and his life is just hanging by a thread, really, his friends come to join him, and they sit with him on the ground, and they cover themselves with ashes, and they mourn over this loss that Job has suffered in his family and in his business. In a sense, it could be called a pity party. I have a saying in life that I've used for myself for many, many years, and I use it as a motivation so I don't slide into depression or kind of a exasperated state where I kind of mentally pull myself up and say, okay, I'm not going to succumb to self-pity. And that is this phrase, no self-pity trips. When I'm tempted to be feeling sorry for myself, I will reinforce in my mind, no self-pity trips. In other words, I don't have any more grief and problems and sorrows than anyone else, and if I just start sitting around and feeling sorry for myself, it's not going to do any good. Well, at times that's easy to say, and at other times it is not easy to say, to try to motivate yourself to stay positive. In fact, the writer of the book of Lamentations had seen Jerusalem destroyed. This was a horrible, catastrophic thing. You can hardly imagine your own country torn apart and devastated by enemies who march in. The dynasty that God had promised to King David seemed like it had come to an end. God had promised that the kingdom of Israel would be an eternal kingdom, that one of David's descendants would sit on the throne forever. And really, the people at the time didn't understand what that meant in that prophecy. It really was a prophecy regarding Jesus and the fact that he has an eternal kingdom, that the Messiah would come and he would sit in heavenly glory and reign as king eternally. They didn't understand that at the time. The writer of Lamentations had just seen the Babylonians come in and devastate his homeland. And so this beloved land that he had was now the subject of mockery by foreigners. You know, the attitude, so much for the Israelite God. And that must have been just earth-shaking for these people. And so the book of Lamentations is filled with all kinds of descriptions of despair and agony and mourning over this event and the death of the people, things like that. But the writer of Lamentations forces himself to turn. And this is the critical point in chapter 3, verse 21, where I said, "Yet this I call to mind." In other words, it was an intentional decision to not wallow in despair and just stay there, but instead to recall what God had done in the past and that he was faithful. After all, faithfulness is critical in helping us out of our despair, to find out that God is faithful to us. Sometimes I think it's a classic mistake for an individual to look at their certain circumstances that they are in and conclude that God has abandoned them or failed them. Listen carefully. Never base your faith in God on current circumstances. God is faithful over the long run, over the long term. And in fact, sometimes he allows us to be tested with really horrible conditions and circumstances in order to see how we will react, in order to see if we will stay committed to him. I know many individuals over the years who have denied God, and I get a sense that it's not so much that they're denying God exists, it's almost more that they are vehement, almost that they are angry with him. I remember one woman, a dear lady whom I knew at my first congregation in Canada, and she, many times when she was younger, she was angry with God internally, and she told other people that she denied God's existence. But after an incident where she came into this church and met this very loving, kindly, father-like pastor, he won her over with his kindness and tenderness, and she slowly came back to the Lord. And later on in life, she admitted that it was not so much that she denied God was there. It's more that she was really angry with him because when she was a young girl, God had let her father die, and she did not want her father to die. And she harbored that anger and resentment against God, and it came out in the form of denying him. I want you to be aware that whatever trial or problem or issue you're going through, do not make the mistake of judging God based on short-term things. You have your entire life for God to prove his faithfulness to you. And also, God has given you a life plan, a life guarantee. It's not for this exact moment, in that it doesn't mean that God guarantees that you're going to be kept from a car crash or that you're never going to get cancer or something like that. God's plan in Jesus Christ is to get you from point A to point B, to get you from this earth to life eternal. That's what he has guaranteed, and he's going to take you along this bumpy path, this difficult path, and there's going to be many times when you think he might not be there or might not be helping, but he is working in the background, I guarantee you. So in other words, God's faithfulness is not measured in days or hours, but it's measured in decades, long periods of time. And then we look back and we can see how God has blessed and been faithful. I think of Abraham in this regard, and how Abraham was promised that he would have a son, and he and Sarah had to wait 25 years for this child to be born to Sarah. 25 years, a quarter of a century. And you start to realize that God will cause us to learn patience over time as we wait for him to prove his faithfulness. So watch out that you don't misjudge God because you're anxious and you want to bail out. Now, hope in God, trusting in God over the long term is an act of faith, especially when things look horrible, when things look bad. Just like the author of Lamentations, he looked around and he saw the devastation that was happening in Jerusalem. And yet, he said, I know God's been faithful in the past, and he will bring us through this. Well, in fact, that is precisely what happened, because 80 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, when it looked like everything was gone, when it looked like the monarchy of Israel had disintegrated, when it looked like the city might never be rebuilt again, after all of the carnage and devastation, 80 years later, God has a Babylonian king by the name of Cyrus make this unheard of decree before that had never been done before, that the Jews, if they were compliant, could return to their homeland and rebuild. And he even okayed the rebuilding of their temple again. What an amazing thought. Well, you know, that hope for the future comes from looking in the past and seeing God's goodness. I hope that you understand that in Jesus Christ, God has secured your future. And whatever you're experiencing today, whatever trials or problems, is not going to keep him from getting you from point A to point B, from here to eternal life. So, like the author of Lamentations, when you get into a pit of despair, keep in mind God's faithfulness. Realize that he is taking you to heaven in the long run, in the long term. So have hope, have faith. Don't despair because of the momentary situation, but have faith in the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.